Jesus. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for today. We give you the praise and adoration. We exalt your holy name, O God. Father, this morning we are about to hear your word. Our prayer is that you incline your ears towards our word, even as the word is shared in Jesus' name. My prayer is that no one will live here the same, but the power of the Holy Spirit will arrest all of us. In Jesus' mighty name, I pray with thanksgiving. Amen. Since we will not be projecting anything, will I request that that thing should be turned off, because it's directly into my eyes, please. Hallelujah. Amen. Just for a short while, I'm going to share with you building God's house. Hallelujah. It's going to be more of teaching than preaching. Amen. Building God's house. It's going to be a series, probably for 3 to 4 weeks. Building God's house. So we can title it Building God's House 1. Amen. What is a building? I took my time to research the definition of a building in the Oxford English Dictionary. It defined a building as a relatively permanent enclosed construction. A relatively permanent enclosed construction. That means that a building must not be temporary. We sometimes have temporary structures, isn't it? Where we come from. But what happens? Sometimes AMA, or whatever they call it, they'll just go and demolish the place. Or sometimes when hurricane comes, the whole thing is gone. Hallelujah. And we are talking of, it says, over a plot of land. That means a building must be on a plot. You cannot build a building in the air. It must have a concrete. Hallelujah. Amen. A solid one. Then it goes on having a roof. Usually windows, because some buildings don't have windows. Warehouses and others may not have windows. So that's why he used the word usually windows. And often more than one level. That means that when you are building, some of you have buildings in Ghana, story buildings. Story buildings. How many of you have story buildings in Ghana? 2 levels. Okay, Ureku has a building in Ghana. Hallelujah. Amen. 2 levels. Amen. And it goes and says, it is normally used for a variety of activities, such as living in entertainment, manufacturing, checks, service, and what have you. Now, let's look at the characteristics of building. How does a building look like? Now, the first characteristic that I have here is type and function of a building. There are so many types of buildings, as I talked earlier on. Some are used for construction, some are used for homes, some are used for schools, some are used for churches. For example, this building is a building that is used for school, but we have rented it to use for our church. Hallelujah. So it's serving as the Americans would say, multi-purpose. Amen. Now, building, you must also consider the size. We have huge homes and we have small homes. When we're coming, Auntie Mina said, oh, this place is very nice. Almost all the houses here have 3 garages. And she was saying that she see herself one day also owning the house. May it come to pass in Jesus' name. Amen. So some buildings can be small. Some buildings also can be big. Hallelujah. Depending on the type of building that you want to build. Amen. Then we talk about the equipment, the building equipment. Some buildings have certain things that some buildings don't have. Amen. If you come to Ghana, most houses didn't have air conditions, except those who can afford. Otherwise, you have to open the windows. And in the night, the windows have to be closed, or else the true owner of the house will come in. So it also depends upon the equipment. Thank God for the United States of America, where the air condition is always blowing. Some of us, we even have the air condition. We don't normally put it on all the time because the bills are normally high. Amen. Then the number of people in the building. The number of people in the building. You can have a building that has small people, or you can have a church that also have a large people. Then the cost of the building, which is very important. Jesus said, no one will build a house without counting the cost. Hallelujah. So when you are building, you must also consider the cost of the building before you built. If you want to build a story building, you are not looking out for $100,000. So many years ago in Ghana, wherever it was cities. But here, now, almost everything in Ghana. I was surprised that I went to the internet and I saw that in Ghana, a house is costing $400,000. I was so surprised. And some, I'm told that some homes, they even rent, they have to pay dollars. Thank God for my house in Ghana. I'm going to rent it for dollars. Hallelujah. So it means that you can actually consider the cost. It's very, very important. Now let's look at other characteristics. It says, another characteristic talks about foundation. When you are building a house, you have to take into consideration the foundation of the house. If the foundation is not strong, the house will collapse. Recently, again, example in Ghana, I think about a year or so, they said one Monday morning or Tuesday morning, a big supermarket. I've left Ghana 20 years ago, forgive. I normally go, but I mean, ever since I left Ghana permanently, it's 20 years. So I've been away from home. I visit, but not, I don't stay for there for long. So the last time I went home, if you put me, when we got to 37, I asked, where is this? They said, this is 37. I used to stay at Labadi Villas, you know, when I come. And I couldn't even, you know, find, yes, I didn't find, Accra has changed. Amen. And so, what I'm saying is that it's important that we need to look at the foundation. If the foundation is strong, the house will stand. If the foundation is weak, it will break. And in Ghana, they said a certain structure, it was used for a supermarket or something. Then they say in the morning, early in the morning, the house collapsed. How many of you were in Ghana at that time? Merkel, were you there? Who was here? You were here. I think you were there. A lot of people perished. They lost their life. Meaning that the foundation of the house was not strong. So it is when it comes to the things of God. Hallelujah. When you are building a foundation in the house of God, your foundation has to be very strong. The Bible says that, and when the rain and the storm came, that means that in your life, the rain and the storm will definitely come. Hallelujah. Everybody's life, there will be a rain, there will be a storm, there will be a hurricane. Either Hurricane Katrina or Hurricane Irene. I don't know why they named them after female. But whatever it is, it will definitely come. But the Bible says that if you build your house on a rock, it will stand. Hallelujah. If you build it on a sand, forget it. It will wash it. Agasam, it will wash it. Awashi, you remember that? In Ghana, when there's the great torrential rain, people are in trouble. Even when we're coming, we're discussing it. That it will rain, and then the structures, it will sweep the structures. Not even in Ghana. Here in the US, we all saw it, and sometimes you see in Brazil, there'll be a storm, and you see houses collapsing into the stream. Hallelujah. So, as a Christian, your foundation has to be strong. Your foundation has to be what? Strong. Hallelujah. Amen. It also has to be tough. Then we talk about seasoning. So, when you are building a house, you have to take into account the seasons. Amen. Where we come from, we normally build our homes. Kofi, you are an engineer. With what? Concrete. Okay. Because we don't have winter. But here, when we are building the house, you have to take into consideration winter and summer. Because if the structure is not well put, during summer, it will be very hot. That is not even habitable. Sometimes in your own house, you put on the air conditioning and you can't feel it. How many of you have experienced that? You put on the fan, then what's the answer? Then instead of cold air, hot air will be coming. Then sometimes, even during winter, you put on the heater and you still don't feel it. You have to get a small one and put it next to you. Won't be touched if you don't have a wife. Hallelujah. Because the wife can warm you. Amen. And so we also look at resistance. The next one is resistance to fire. Your house must be resistant to fire. Here, you can't easily build a house here. It's not like in Ghana, you just go and put anything here. That is why it's proper for you to buy a house here than to go and build it. If you want to accept those rich people, because there are so many codes, fire codes, this code that comes in. I remember our house when we bought it. You know, we went for the land and they built the house for us. And then after the house was built here in Gettysburg, they came in and they had to inspect and see that it conforms with all the codes. So many codes. Fire codes. This. Even here, they cannot put more than 100 people here. The fireman, fire marshal will say that it's fire hazard. Who told you the fire hazard? Go to Ghana and see the number of people who are sleeping in one room. One room, about 10 people are sleeping, but when there's fire, they can run away. I work in the school system. I'm a teacher. And now, you realize that when they say, there's life here is quite different. When there's a fire outbreak and the alarm sounds, the children, they don't walk. What you have to do is that you have to stop everything that you are doing. And I take a register and I count for the students as they go out. So the alarm will sound, and the students will just stand up and they'll be going slowly. I mean, they're not in a rush. Sometimes we see the fire, but they'll be walking slowly. I'm talking of 2,000 students in a building, but we eventually go out. Ghana, I love that there's a fire. It's not the fire that will kill the people, but it's the stampede. People will run, some of you will run to the fire where the fire is coming from. They put exit. You see, these are some of the things, talking of buildings, some of the things that they have, exit. So the students just follow the exit, they go out, and we the teachers, we account for the students. So that if some of them are out, they can quickly go and check the toilets and under sea and get them out. So fire code. Now, if you are building, the Bible says that your works will go through fire. Hallelujah. What you are building will go through fire. When something goes through fire, two things, either it burns it or it purifies it. Hallelujah. Now, your building, is it going to be burnt when it goes through the fire, whatever you build? Or is it going to polish it? Is it going to gold? When it goes through fire, that is where it becomes pure. Amen. Several years ago, my father was telling me that my father was a very curious person. He always wanted to express things. He went to Obuasi one day, and then he went to the mines. He said he wanted to see. So they gave him this, and he went to the mines. He stayed there for 2 hours, and he came. My mother said, if there has been some earthquake there, what will you do? So he says, when you go there, you see yellow stuff. And you may think that is gold. It's called a fool's gold. It is no gold. The actual gold is dark. You cannot see it. So they bring it to the surface and it goes through a whole lot of processes before you can get a gold. So people like us, once you hear this, you are ready. This is gold. You may go and steal it. You'll be arrested. But it's a fool's gold. It's not a proper gold. So it goes through fire. So all these things are characteristics of things that you have to know if you want to build. Hallelujah. Is that a good preaching? Amen. Now let's look at some of the things that you can build. The first thing you can build is a house. You can build a house. Amen. You can build a family. Some of us are building our families. You can build a relationship. Amen. You can build a relationship with friends, with God, with your colleagues. These are things that you can build. Hallelujah. You can also build wealth or business. I know some of you are businessmen. Me, I'm not business inclined. My wife told me that I should do my simple jumaya. Because for me, even if you are owning me, I don't know how to take. My wife would ask my head, you owe her. She will come after you. She's a pure power person. She knows how to do business. This weekend we went to transact something and the guy asked me, I was quiet. The guy was going to take 1,003. First he said 1,009. Then I was quiet. I look at her face. Then the guy said, okay, 1,006. And I said, we can't pay that. We can pay 600. Then the guy looked at me and said, no. Me, I had agreed on the 1,002. You see, then later we bargained and then the thing came to 800. Even that, he told her, no, you've cheated us. I don't know how to do business. That is why I want my Bosumi Ejuma every 2 weeks. I'll get my staff and keep it. Because when I do, I'm not a business person. Because if you want to do, those who do business, you must know how to talk and how to scheme. Look, I have a cousin, my father's nephew. The guy is a billionaire. He has so many buildings in Ghana and in those days, he started going to Nigeria to go and buy fund when he started in the early 80s. And when you give him money, that, oh, go and buy, when you are going, get me some of the fans or this thing. You know what he will do? He will quickly use the money and go and buy for himself and come and sell. And when you say, oh, I couldn't go this week, I'll go next week, he's made profit after for money. The guy is, he's, last week he wrote to me, says he's come to buy a house here. I said, how much? He said, well, I can afford around $700,000. He's come to pay cash. He's a multimillionaire. The guy knows business. In fact, this toilet thing that they pay, he started it in Accra. He has the business IQ. Meanwhile, his education was only in Form 4. He never went to secondary school. You get what I mean? So it's not education hasn't got anything to do with business. These quiet women, oh, they know business. When we were growing up, there was a certain woman called Danswa. Most of you may not. Danswa Farms, a quiet woman from, I think maybe, yes, those of us who are very young, who will know. So we'll talk about that woman. She's never been to school, but she owned a champion time. She owned fleet of buses, about 8 to 10. And she was business, and she was using words like overdraft and this and that because she's in the business. But those of us, me, I'm not business inclined. So I'll do my this, whatever I have to do, and God will bless me. Amen. Then you can build the kingdom of God, which is the most important thing which we are talking about. So having considered all the building, you must endeavor to build the house of God. Hallelujah. You must endeavor to build the house of God. Let's turn our Bibles to Haggai. The book of Haggai is, you can go to Matthew, then you begin to go back about two or three books to take you to Haggai. It talks about a person who fails, people who fails to build the house of God. Haggai chapter 1, or Haggai or Haggai, if how you want to pronounce it, depending on where you come from.
Amen.
When I started teaching, I was teaching geometry. Then I said, parallel lines, parallel lines. And the kids started laughing. Quack, quack, quack. And what even made me annoyed was that there was one boy from Sierra Leone. The boy was not born here. He had come here. Apparently, they said when he came, he couldn't even know how to speak. But you know, children, they can just learn. And the boy has learned the language to the extent that you may think he's born here. And he laughed. He came and put his hand on my table. Mr. Juma, palala lies. Then I said, what is it? He said, parallel. So, oh, I didn't know parallel. What I know is in Ghana we call parallel lies. Amen. So depending on wherever you come from. You see, for those of us who were old before we came here, there is no way your accent will change. So for me, I don't force myself to speak the slang. It makes me feel, you see, you are not speaking the right thing, and you know, so what are you doing, man? Where you coming from? You know, where are you coming from? I speak what I have to speak, provided I don't have grammatic error. Because at my workplace, sometimes they begin to ask me, because when we go for meetings, you know, I'm in charge of the upper school meeting, and then spelling, I'll give it construction. Principal will write something, he has a PhD. So then I'll point it out. I said, no, it should have been S. This is F. This construction is wrong. Don't, Mr. Juma. You know, we learn grammar. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yes, I may not be able to speak slangs, but when it comes to grammar and construction, it's right. And that is English. As for accent, me, if you tell me I have an accent, I also tell you I have an accent. When we came to this country first, my wife and I were going to buy some nursing book. Then I was asking the sales girl, the computer book. Then a certain man said, oh, you have a funny accent. Where do you come from? I said, what do you mean I have a funny accent? You also have an accent. And the man just, I said, I also have an accent. English is geographical. It depends on where you come from. If you go to Australia, they say bye. And the boy, they say, it's a bye. It's a girl. Look, the British, the way they speak. If you go to South Africa, they have their accent. New Zealand, they have their accent. Jamaican. American also have, what do you mean that American English is the standard English? And you come to tell me I have an accent, you also have an accent. If somebody tells you you have an accent, be proud of the English that you speak. Provided your grammar and construction are right, you are speaking the right English. When I came here again, I went to Montgomery College. I wanted to enroll. They asked us to write an essay how to buy a used car, 2 pages. I wrote the thing. The guy asked me, "What university did you go to?" I said, "I went to the University of Ghana." He said, "Is it in Pennsylvania?" I said, "Wow, Pennsylvania. University of Ghana in Pennsylvania." So most of these people are, you know, they're ignorant. They don't know. You know, it's just, no, the way the thing was written. So I had to escape 3 courses, which I should have, for beginners. You know, so for us, those of us who come from West Africa, we are well trained. That's why when my kids, they write English, I laugh at them. I say, "You can speak it, but you can't write." Amen. Amen. So depending on wherever you come from, you can be Hagar, it can be Hagi. Amen. Now let's read. We have just about 10 minutes more. It says, "In the second year of King Darius, in the 6th month of the 1st day of the month, the word of the Lord came by Hagar the prophet of Zerubbabel, the son of Shalai, governor of Judah, and Joshua, the son of Jehadok, and the high priest, saying, Thus speaks the Lord of hosts, saying, These people say, the time has not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built." We are talking about building God's house. Hallelujah. Now let's see. 4. It is 3. The word of the Lord came by Hagar the prophet, saying, "It is time for you yourself. Is it time for you yourself to dwell in your panel houses and this temple lying in ruins? Now therefore, says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways." The Lord is saying that most of us have dwelt in our panel rooms. Our homes are paneled. We have air conditioning. We have heaters. We have microwave. We have all sorts of things. But the Lord's house is in ruins. Hallelujah. Then 6 says, "Because of that, you have so much and you bring in little." We sow a lot. Because we failed to build God's house, we sow a lot, but our income or whatever we receive is small. I've heard people saying, a lot of people say, if they take a close look of their W-2, they've seen that they've earned a lot of money at the end, but they cannot account for it. Me, it all comes to me. If you look at my W-2, it's a lot of money, but I don't know where the money has gone to. It's because we live in our panel houses and we forget to build God's house. And if we do that, this is what is going to come upon us. Amen. You eat and you do not have enough. A person who likes food is known as a glutton. A foodie. Somebody who eats food. One day, my daughter started she says she wants to test me. Is there somebody from Liberia? What is the name? I said, Liberian. Somebody from Nigeria, he's a Nigerian. Somebody from Zambia, I say he's a Zambian. Then he asked me, somebody from Angola, I say it's an Angolian. Is it anything like that? Angolan, okay. Then I say, I'm also going to test you. I say, somebody from America, he says American. I say, somebody from Egypt, he says he's Egyptian. I say, somebody from Lesotho, he says Lesotho. I say, we're not sure. There's nothing like Lesotho. Somebody from Lesotho is a Basotho. So that is it. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. So we have eaten a lot, but we don't get full. Food, yeah, we eat, we don't get full. You drink, and you are not filled with wine. I used to have a certain uncle. He's called Russia Tanker. When I went to Ghana, I thought the man should die by now. He's a distant uncle. When I went recently, did I go this year or last year? This year. And I saw the anchor, and the man was still walking. I said, "God is good." Russia Tank, the man can't, Ofobuchi, the man can't drink. How? I've never seen some before. Anything, the only thing he doesn't drink is kota. You know kota. He will drink beer. He will drink apio. He will drink spirit, everything. But when I still saw him, he should be in his late 70s now. Amen. And the Bible is saying that because we are failed to build God's house, even when you drink, even if you want to get intoxicated, those of people who drink, after a certain point, you can't drink again. Is it not true? After a certain point, you become so much intoxicated that you cannot drink again. Amen. And so they are not drunkards here, so don't worry. Okay. You clothe yourself, but no one is warm. Because we have failed to build God's house, we clothe ourselves. During winter, we put on clothes. But we still feel the cold. Like I was saying, you turn on your heater, but you still feel the cold, it's because we have failed to build God's house. Hallelujah. Then he goes on, and he will earn wages. This is what I like. Earn wages to put them in a bag of holes. You want wages, but the wages are put into a bag of holes. That means that the holes have been perforated. The holes under. So as soon as $20 get inside, as soon as $40 get inside, pop, it goes. It's like somebody is siphoning. Again, in my family, my father's side, one of my uncles, he started life. Life was not going all well. One day he attacked one of his sisters. He said he's responsible for him. When he went to check on the oracle, they told him that the sister has perforated holes under his hand. So when he gets the money drains in and out, then it goes. That is what the Bible is saying. If we do not build God's house, this is what is going to happen to us. And I believe nobody wants this to happen to him or her. That says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Go up to the mountains and bring wood and build a temple that I may take pleasure in it and be glorified, says the Lord. You look for much, but indeed it came to little. And when you brought it, I blew it away. Mercy, Lord. This is serious. God is saying that you've been looking for much. You don't even get the little that you are getting. Hallelujah. Maybe the $15 that you are making, the $22 that you are making, the $40 you are going. God is saying that because you have refused to build his house, the little that you have is gone. May that not be your portion in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Then it goes on. Why? Says the Lord of hosts. Because my house that is in ruin, why every one of you runs to his own house. Therefore, the heavens above you will hold the dew, and the earth will hold its fruit. Hey! The heavens is going to be like a brass. Blessing comes from heaven. It has not come from the north. It has not come from the east, west, and south. It comes from heaven. The Bible says that James, every good and perfect thing comes from God. It comes from above. Within there's no variation, shadow of turning. So everything comes from every good and perfect thing. The Bible says that no one can have anything unless it's given to him by God. Amen. If you are here and you are beautiful, you are handsome, it is God who gave it to you. If you are here and you have a house, it is God who gave it to you. If you are here and you are academically good, it is God who gave it to you. You cannot have anything unless God give it to you. Hallelujah. And so, if you have something, if God has blessed you with something, just use it for the furtherance of his kingdom. Yesterday, one of my friends called me, my schoolmate. He was here a couple of months, he visited me. And when he was talking, he was making mention of people who were very academically good when we went to secondary school. I have never been an excellent, I've never been an A student. Me, I'm an average student. I struggle. School, I struggled. I mean, I like to learn, but I was not brilliant per se. I wasn't, not me more, but I had to struggle in order to make it. You get what I mean? So, hey, and I had some friends. When we go to prep, they'll be reading magazines and they say, hey, French, they'll get 98. Then me 42. Hey, then maths, they'll get about 90. They'll get 52. Hey, I struggled. By the grace of God, I struggled. I struggled. I struggled. O level, I had to do it twice. But thank God for A level. A level, as soon as I entered sixth form the full year, I sat for November. Without even getting to Anna, I got all my passes and I was ready to go to university. Could you believe that? I couldn't get to upper sixth first term. The time I got to, I did November and I had all my passes. I had already qualified for university. So what I was doing was just to chill. Just to chill. And my friends became envious of me. I was just chilling. Because me, I had already qualified with my November. You see, by the grace of God, I went to the university. It wasn't easy to. But by the grace of God, people were making first class. I got my second lower. I was out. Amen. It's not easy. I came here, did masters. You know, it wasn't easy. Professional exams. Oh, come on, my wife is here. I'll go and do it, it will come. I'll do it, it will come. By the grace of God, one day I did it. Hey, I got it. By the grace of God, I attempted another master's for a master's to become an administrator, to become a principal. It's also not easy for me. I did the first professional exam, it put me down, pow. By the grace of God, I did the second one, I got it. So it is not been easy for me. Hallelujah. And my friend was just talking, telling me, oh, these people, where are they? They were very good. Some people were just there. Where are they? Where are they now? One of my friends, I was just telling my wife, he finished tech, he did agric, he went to Ivory Coast to go and work, and he has no job. The last time I saw him, that people who were very good, where are they? It is the end that justifies the means. It's not the beginning. You get what I mean? Yes. Those who were very good, and some couldn't even get an opportunity to go to university. Those who were making the 80s and the 90s. By the grace of God, God has put us where we are. I see God also blessing you. Hallelujah. He says, therefore, the heavens above you withhold the dews, and the earth withholds its fruit. May the earth not withhold its fruit on you. Hallelujah. May the Lord open the heavens for you. Hallelujah. May the Lord bless you. May you continue to build the house of God. Amen. May when you get salary, may you see the use of the money. May the money not go serve as a drain. May it not drain from your hand. May the Lord bless you. Whatever you do, may you see the reward in the name of Jesus. Stand on your feet.